Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
I'm Monty Larrick. I'm joined by David Smith, the Executive Director of the Illinois Family Institute.
Hello.
And Mr. Ed Ronkowski, longtime friend of Dave Smith. Dave, tell us about Mr. Ed Ronkowski.
Well, Ed Ronkowski, I've met back a few years ago when I became a Republican precinct committeeman in Will County. And Ed was a very big part of the Will County Republicans back then. Then he became even more of a big part of it when he became the county chairman for the Will County Republicans. And we've had some great experiences together. He's got extensive experience in Cook County politics as a prosecutor and Will County politics. You do election law still, and he does conceal and carry training.
And Mr. Ronkowski, you're a former Cook County prosecutor who tried to keep elections pure and clean, but you wound up getting arrested.
Well, I have to go back to when I was a freshman in law school at DePaul, and they had a civic group, Project LEAP, Legal Election in All Precincts, that were assigning independent and Republican poll watchers in the precincts where there was experienced vote fraud in the past. And I went in there, and I says, freshman law student, and I don't believe the vote fraud is as bad as you say it is. Give me your worst precinct. So they assigned me a precinct in the first ward.
This was Chicago, right?
Chicago. That
first ward's traditionally the mob ward, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And I was in a precinct that included the corner of Halsted and Maxwell Street. So I got there before the polls opened.
And this was in the 70s?
1974, in that primary.
1974, okay.
It was a contested primary where they had a establishment Democrat, non-establishment Democrat, and Ed Hanrahan running for state's attorney after he had been indicted.
Cool.
So when I walked in there, the judges were – election judges were having the voters fill out ballot applications and then voting for them. And I says, you can't do that. And then I found out there was somebody outside paying them a dollar a vote. And there was a brothel going on next door.
So this is before same-day registration, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. This is the old-fashioned way.
This is the old-fashioned way, yes.
So they finally stopped going in and voting for the voters because I was objecting every time. And, you know, the police officers trying
to... So the precinct committeeman was going in and voting for the people they just registered.
No, the precinct committeeman was organizing this. He had a bunch of workers doing it for him, including the election judges.
He had proxies.
They were working as a team. So I finally got them where they were paying the voters outside and telling them the numbers to put down, pull on the levers behind the curtain. And one election judge was peeking in to make sure the voter was voting the way he was told to do. And I stood up and I pointed to the election judge and then turned to the who was looking in and pointed to the what was happening and says, you can't let this happen. This is illegal observation of voting. And the election judge who was peeking in on the voter without the voter asking for it swung around with her hand and gave me a karate chop on the neck.
Oh, my.
Well, the police officer jumped up.
Kung Fu.
From his magazine. And, you know, I just was startled and was like, step back. It really didn't hurt, you know. And he jumped in between us, and the precinct captain came up and said, I want this poll watcher arrested. So the police officer took us both down to the station, and he pulls out the forms, and he's filling a form to have me arrested.
Unbelievable.
So I go, and I says, could I please use your phone? Yeah, and he says, fine. So I call Project LEAP and tell him what happened. And a half hour later, two U.S. Marshals showed up, and they walked up to the police officer filling out the paperwork. And they handed him a thick piece of paper stapled together. And they told him this is an injunction, a federal injunction, designed to prevent the harassment of poll watchers. We will not interfere with your arrest of this poll watcher. But if he is not returned to the precinct immediately, we're going to report back to the judge and ask for a warrant to bring you in front of the judge. And you explain to the judge why this poll watcher is not in the polling place.
Mm.
Mind you, this police officer saw the entire interaction. The police officer jumps up, grabs me by the arm, grabs the precinct captain with the other arm, drags us out the squad car, and takes us lights and sirens at high speed back to the polling place, leaving the unfinished paperwork on the
on his desk.
On his desk, you know. And so I could go on and on all the shenanigans that I witnessed. I'm making notes of it. And at the end of the day, the police officer says, I'm not letting you take the bus back to your law school dorm. I'm driving you out of here. And he drove me lights and sirens out of the district.
No,
and then
no kidding.
When we got near my house, he literally pulled over a bus it was that I was supposed to take and put me on it before he turned his lights and sirens off.
No kidding.
Wow.
Well, what was in it for the voters who were being registered that day?
They were just...
Were they getting paid?
Yeah, they were being paid a dollar a vote.
A dollar a vote?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and the promise of potholes being filled. And
now, the funny thing is, because they were not... before I stopped it, they were actually voting for the voters. What the precinct captain did... is write down on a sheet of paper the numbers to pull, not the names. And he transposed some numbers, so they all voted in mass for the wrong candidate. And he came up to me, he says, I got to change these numbers or I'll be fired.
Uh-oh.
And I says, I'm sorry, I've got my results. I'm turning this report in, and you change any numbers, you take your responsibility, you know.
Wow.
So
it was an inept program to begin with, but still.
They weren't expecting an independent poll watcher there.
No, and see that. Now, but this doesn't go on today, does it, Ed? Not to this extent, at least.
There was one other. I did vote fraud for the Cook County State Attorney's Office as a prosecutor, teamed up with police officers every election, including the municipal election, for 22 and a half years.
22 years of experience.
And there was one situation where, I'm a Republican in a Democratic organization.
Sure.
There was one situation that came in where a poll watcher was accosted, and he left. So they called me at home and says, we want you to work a double shift, and there's a place where the poll watcher was accosted, and we think you're perfectly suitable for the job. So they sent me there, and it was a fire station. It was quiet. There was no fraud. Nobody harassed me.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good.
Well, what shenanigans go on now? They have, you know, electronic voting booths and all that kind of stuff. And
well, there's different categories of shenanigans. One of the most onerous is the nursing home fraud in Chicago. You have these patients with dementia that cannot speak, gesture, or respond. And the precinct captain will roll them up in a wheelchair where they're motionless, fill out the ballot application, roll them up to the voting booth, and then without asking or waiting, or just fill out the ballot form. And they, if without an independent poll watcher, they'll do this at least 100 times, maybe
no
200
kidding.
Times. So he's essentially voting for people who can't vote.
What can you do about that as a poll watcher?
We had a poll watcher there from the Republican Party. He was trained, and he was a lawyer from Will County, and he objected to each time. And they were turning them around, and the judges didn't want to go to jail for allowing it to happen over an objection and stopped it. He went to the bathroom, and everybody that he had objected were back in line.
No
when he got
kidding.
Back, and he had to object again.
No kidding.
So at the end of the day, the precinct captain had to call in his reports to the voting, and he was overheard saying that things got really bad here, and the numbers were real low. And then he went up to the poll watcher. He said, you going to be here tomorrow? And he said, no, I'm not being assigned here tomorrow. I got to go to court, you know, on my court cases. And he said, good, they'll all be back here.
Wow. Wow.
So if you don't stop that stuff and you don't have a poll watcher there every day, they'll do it.
We could use poll watchers then.
Oh, yeah. We have training, and the state party has training. They like to have lawyers do it. But I found out that an experienced person with the smallest amount of training could do the exact same job as a lawyer.
And that's why Christians and conservatives need to plug in, do their civic duty, and especially on Election Day, right? Election Day, probably 50% of the ballots are cast, if not more.
Yes, they are, but there's an inordinate amount of vote fraud in the pre-election process. And I have to indicate that an honest election judge in a place where there's vote fraud going on could do more to prevent vote fraud than a poll watcher. because a poll watcher could say this person is a ghost voter, his signature doesn't match. And the judge looks at it, they take a vote, and they say it matches, and all you could do is record it and investigate it later. And it's really not provable because the guy leaves and you can't find him again. How do you prosecute this guy for being a ghost voter? So an election judge could look down and say the signature doesn't match, and the law says I'm supposed to ask you for identification and prove it. I was in one polling place in Joliet where the election judges had so many people coming in without signatures matching. They were just made blanket announcements to the people in line saying you need to have voter identification to vote. And the people, about 1 out of 10 people in line when they heard that, looked directly at me. I was, you know, a white guy with a suit looking like I was a detective. And they would step out of line and they wouldn't come back.
No kidding.
So you could guesstimate that 10% of the people voting there were voting illegally.
Interesting.
Yeah. Do you think that type of activity will really be ramped up during this election?
Yes, and it's already being ramped up. I could see with the early returns on the vote by mail that there's pockets of places where there's an unusually high turnout of voters in areas that have vote fraud in the past.
Interesting. Well, let's flush that out when we come back.
There's an easy way to be an informed voter. Visit ilvoterguide.com. ilvoterguide.com is a comprehensive online voter guide that rates the candidates on a 7-point scale from very conservative to very liberal. ilvoterguide.com lets you know where the candidates stand on life, taxes, and other key issues, who's funding the candidates' campaigns, and who's endorsing them. Before you vote, visit ilvoterguide.com. That's ilvoterguide.com.
This is an Illinois Family Institute, IllinoisFamily.org update.
More and more public school bathrooms and locker rooms are going co-ed.
Yes, parents should be alarmed. They should speak up for your children.
State Representative Tom Morrison says his legislation brings a common sense solution to the bathroom wars controversy by protecting the safety, privacy, and dignity of all students.
A student who identifies as the gender other than their biological sex should be given a different accommodation. The student should be given a private space to change, to use the restroom, so not interfere with the privacy and safety of all the other students.
And concerned parents should run for the school board.
I hope that parents will consider running for those seats. We need to have better representatives on those school boards.
A reminder, before you vote, visit IllinoisFamily.org for information about our voter guide.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick, Dave Smith, the Executive Director of IFI here, and we're joined by Mr. Ed Ronkowski, and Mr. Ronkowski is an expert on elections and preventing election fraud. Voter ID, yes, no?
It's a good idea. You need an ID to get on a plane, to buy liquor, to buy over-the-counter drugs.
That's right.
To drive a car, and ID covers mail addressed to you. It doesn't have to be the second piece of identification doesn't have to be a government photo ID. So it's not onerous.
So what you're saying is a NICOR bill or a ComEd bill would suffice?
In many cases, it suffices for the second form of identification.
Interesting. Okay.
But Illinois has an established where the identification of the voter is done by signature. And if the election judges are complicit by inadvertence or by design, they allow people to vote where the signatures really don't match. And without a poll watcher there to contest it and try to politely bring the judges around to following what the law says and their instruction book says, people will vote. And once that ballot goes in the ballot box, you can't pull it out. Because there's no identification marks, and you'd be pulling out one at random. So you have to stop the people from voting. Now, when we train our poll watchers, one of the things I tell them to do is prior to going into that polling place, get a list of the voters, drive around the area, and mark down on your list which houses are abandoned, which are burned out, which addresses are vacant lots.
Yes.
And I had one poll watcher in Monee that had somebody try to vote from a burned out building that was just a foundation and had been boarded up. Yeah,
yep.
For the wreckage there for months. And the judges sustained his objection. And the second time he made the objection, they sustained it. The third time, somebody came in and tried to vote from that address. The judge says, "Get out of here. That's a burned out building and it's boarded. You know, it's just an empty shell."
Interesting. You know? Interesting. You know, my experience, I grew up in the 19th Ward in the city of Chicago. And my father had passed away many years, couple decades ago. And I remember going to the polling place, you know, getting my voter ID card, having to sign off, and seeing my dad's name still in the voter rolls. And I know for a fact that we repeatedly asked the Chicago Board of Elections to remove him. He's deceased, but he was still in there, which always leads me to think, who's voting for him? You know, are they, you know,
and that's just
trying
one
to bridge
example.
The gap?
You know, there's probably many others
right.
in that same situation.
You know, so, I mean, you hear these jokes that the dead vote in Chicago. They're not jokes, are they?
They had a contested election in the 1980s where the U.S. Attorney's Office was under Republican control, and they investigated the vote fraud. The grand jury did. And they found out that there was over 10,000 people that were in prison, but they had voted in a polling place.
No
kidding.
And
guess what? They don't allow people out on furloughs to vote. Not when you're
they don't
doing
do vote by mail in prison?
They had tens of thousands of people that were dead that had voted.
See, yeah.
And you go on and on the categories of vote fraud, but they estimated that in that election, and they came within like 10,000 votes of stealing the governorship away from Governor Thompson, who won the election fair and square. They estimated that 5% of the total vote in Illinois was fraudulent.
How much?
5%.
5%.
When they're out there on a full court press to steal an election, Republican has to get 56% of the vote to win the election statewide.
Well, that's fair, isn't it, Ed?
Well, it depends what side you're on.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Still illegal.
Right. No. So now comes word from Virginia that over 1,000 illegal aliens have been found to be registered to vote in 8 counties, and that was all they could get information for.
Virginia's a swing state.
Yep. Yeah. And so how is that going on here throughout you know, the United States here in Illinois?
One of my daughter's college friends was an Ethiopian. He's got a visa here, but he's an Ethiopian citizen. And he likes to stay in compliance with the law. So every time he moves his address, he goes to the Secretary of State, gets a new driver's license. And they say, well, here, fill out this form to register to vote. And he goes, I'm not a U.S. citizen. And they say, fill it out anyhow.
No kidding.
And every time he goes to a Secretary of State's facility, they tell him that, and he refuses. And he's
okay.
Worried about it. Now, here in Illinois, we had an election 2 years ago for treasurer that on election night, Tom Cross had won, thin margin, but a comfortably thin margin. And then they started counting up all these votes that were, you know, coming in after the election where they registered to vote on the same day.
The proxies.
And, yeah, all that. And he ends up losing the election by 9,600 votes.
Whoa!
It's easily over 10,000 illegal aliens.
That was a statewide race, though.
Yes.
Okay.
Had voted in that election. Because you see it all the time, that people that are non-citizens, they just put down on their voter's registration card falsely that they were born in the United States.
So we get that we need poll watchers and election judges on election day in their local precincts. But how do we guard the early voting and the vote by mail process? How do we ensure a minimal amount of corruption? I don't know if we'll ever, you know, eliminate it totally, but how do we minimize the corruption?
Well, first of all, every election locally, there's at least one race that's decided by less than one vote per precinct. So you could have one person in each precinct vote illegally and decide the election. There are things you could do. So, and you never, you're correct. You cannot eliminate it. You could minimize it. Vote by mail, they have experienced election judges here in Will County that actually compare the signatures and give you a fair reading on that. Early voting in the precincts.
That's Will County, though.
Will County.
We've got Cook County nearby.
Yeah. Early voting, you're supposed to show ID to get the ballot. And good election judges keep that to a minimum. In Cook County, the Democrats have designated certain areas where you could register to vote and vote at the same time. And the law is – there's a lawsuit right now preventing that because they passed it in an unconstitutional provision.
And the judge just ruled recently that it was unfair and unconstitutional. Of course, it's going to be appealed, so we don't know
right
by Election Day if it'll be back
yeah.
or not.
One of my poll watchers that I had trained and helped place, he was at one of these targeted sites where the election judges would accept any person under any circumstances to register to vote and vote at the same time. And they were sending them from all over the city because it was a designated vote fraud site. Mm-hmm. And he went through all sorts of stuff where they threw obstacles at him to prevent him from making objections. And people were just showing flimsy, looked like Photoshop library cards to vote and stuff like that. And finally, he convinced an investigator from the State Board of Elections to come down just to shut him up. And the guy just says, you can't be doing this and letting these people vote. They have to have ID. So they made a blanket announcement. Everybody in this line has to have ID. And they had already given them numbers, and it was like 400 and some people. And the people that were asked to get ID never came back. It was like less than 100 that came back with IDs.
No kidding.
So three-fourths of the people didn't have any mail address to them, any real ID. You know,
you hear stories of, you know, certain activists getting a bus full of people and driving them down to any particular polling place and letting them all out trying to vote. Does that still go on?
Yes. We had a poll watcher in Joliet. And a bus pulled up, and a bunch of people got out, and the precinct captain came up and talked to them and individually, and they were in line because there was a large number of people, and he noticed that their names were alphabetical, and number two, none of the signatures matched, so he started objecting. Not a single signature matched, and the judges didn't want to go along with a guy recording all this stuff on his pencil and paper and being so blatant. So the precinct committeeman had them all get back on the bus and go, and came up to him and says, they're just going to go to another polling place and vote. You haven't stopped nothing. They just go from polling place to polling place. These are people from Chicago, and they vote in precincts until the polls close.
And if you say, we need voter ID, you want to disenfranchise people. Yeah, and hold back the Democratic vote.
There are some court cases that say voter ID is allowed.
So let me ask you a 30,000-foot question. Who's trying to do this? Who's trying to subvert our election process, Ed? I mean, could you put a finger on it?
No, the way it's done is by innuendo. The top leaders just say, here's your quota of the votes you need. Where they give the precinct committeeman in Chicago cash to expend any way they want, and they're required to have a quota. And if they don't meet their quota, they're fired from their government jobs.
That's it. Well, that's it. This is the patronage workers. I remember being out on one municipal election in Chicago, working a polling place, trying to get my candidate elected. And I was talking to a precinct committeeman that was right across from me. It was so cold. I remember my feet didn't warm up for 3 days later. You know, it was that cold. It was a February election. And I was asking him questions about the social issues because that's what I care about, pro-life, pro-marriage, pro-family. And he was right with us. And so I had to ask him, well, then why are you supporting that candidate? Well, it turned out my job.
Yeah, I had the same conversation with a guy that worked in the Bridgeview Courthouse.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do Christians, what do conservatives, what can they do to help stop or minimize this kind of corruption?
Number one, they should be trained as an election judge because you have to work all day, but you get paid.
You get paid. Okay.
Yeah.
That's important.
How do you do that? Yeah. How do you become an election judge?
Just call up the clerk's office or go online to the Will County Clerk's website. And sign up. They're short on election judges, and indicate that you're willing to work in other precincts. The Will County clerk is not complicit. She tries to assign the best judges to the places that they need them, and she's been very helpful in minimizing election fraud.
If you don't live in Will County...
Yes.
You could become an election judge in Cook County and go through the same procedures.
And if you don't know who they are, call us at the IFI office or the Illinois Family Action Office at 708-781-9371. We'll help identify your local election authority and get you in touch with them.
Yeah. If you don't want to be a poll watcher, or I mean election judge, be a poll watcher. They have training. Will County Central Committee has training on October 29th in Joliet in the morning. They get the venue located, and they're going to advertise that.
And that's a volunteer position.
Yes.
And you do that with a party, a political party.
Yes.
So you're either a Republican or a Democrat poll watcher.
Well, Democrats will get poll watching credentials, but they just do that to facilitate whatever their other ulterior motives are.
Okay. Yeah, I get you.
All right. Well, listen, thank you so much, Mr. Ed Ronkowski.
That's a lot of good information, Ed. Thank you.
Yeah.
Glad to be here.
Excellent information. And we have voter guides, Dave.
ILVoterGuide.com. Go to the website, enter in your address and zip code, and up pops your races in your jurisdiction, nobody else's. And then we rank those candidates on a 7-point scale from very liberal to very conservative. And then you can click on any one of those candidates you want to find more information about. You'll find out who's endorsed them, who they've endorsed, who's given money to them, and who that candidate has given money to. So lots of good information right there.
Thanks for joining us here on Illinois Family Spotlight. Be sure to join us again in the near future.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.